Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how effortless is your life? Isn't it free of effort? Well, maybe we could all do a better job of living effortlessly. But what does that mean? Oh my gosh, would we be totally irresponsible or not? Maybe it is responsible to live without effort. Let's find out. So to find out, the best way is to talk to the author of a book called Effortless Living. It's about Wu Wei and the spontaneous state of natural harmony. So that's very promising. And back again as a guest on Energy Stew is the author of this book, Jason Gregory. Jason, welcome.
It's great to be back on, Peter. It's always we always have a great conversation, yeah.
it's so wonderful. And this book was one of the deepest books I've ever read because it understands how to be true to yourself and how to be true to life and to see life in its two elements that are the deepest elements. And so I want to get into that with you because this is from the teachings of Lao Tzu and ancient Chinese Taoist teachings that don't necessarily have to do with the Taoist religion, right?
No, definitely not. more so the Taoist philosophy or way of life, you know, you could say, which was actually the original. I mean, we need to remember there was sort of no Taoist religion.
Right. Well, that was them with Jesus and Buddha.
Yeah, yeah.
The religions came from the people afterwards who needed to create structure.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So it's more of a focus on, you know, the teachings of Lao Tzu, the original teachings, and how to sort of live Wu Wei in our everyday life. And Wu Wei, again, for people watching, is it translates. There's a few ways you can translate it. So there's non-doing, which is kind of the original Laotian way of...
Let's call it non-efforting.
Yeah, non-efforting, exactly. Oh, yeah, non-efforting, no force, effortless action. Even there's a skill element to this where you could say it's like intelligent spontaneity. But yeah, like you said, no effort, effortlessness, living your life in sync with the environment, in sync with life itself. It's more of a life science. It's not so much a religion or, you know, Lao Tzu's not putting up sort of a dogma to follow. He's sort of saying, get in touch with life itself at its rawest.
Well, that's the point. How do we know we're doing that? You know, I guess it's seeing the effort in us to try to control life. Mm. Is where we make a mistake because we think we can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're all under the illusion that we can change life according to our own beliefs and our own agendas. But, you know, if we've lived long enough, as you have, Pete, is that you after time, you notice that, you know, I don't control this game. You know, this game has got its own way. And if I don't, in a sense, calibrate with the way it's moving, then I begin to swim against the stream, or against the Tao, so to speak.
But even calibrating is an effort.
So it's an effort. Yeah. Right. That's exactly. That's a good point. It's an effort. So it's a way of. Yeah, you have to get out of the whole. You know, Lao Tzu has a big focus on desires. You know, so he sort of says that, you know, our desires, in a sense, fuel the maddening of our hearts, that the hunt and the chase, he will say, and the maddening of our hearts. So we're chasing a life that we think is going to make us who we're supposed to be, when the rawness of who we are, he would say the uncarved block is actually who we are. So, you know, this is different to Confucius, who Confucius has a self-cultivation sort of method of how we should be in life. So his is more of the carving and polishing philosophy.
Right, and we'll talk about that because that really interested me, what you had to say about Confucius in your book. But what I'm thinking right now is about, you know, for instance, I work with the human design system and the destiny cards that show us the mechanics of who we're here to be in life. But I always tell people, you don't have to worry about that because life will force itself will force you to be who you have to be, because life delivers itself to us. And that's the Wu Wei. That's getting out of the way so life can bring itself to us according to who we need to be.
Exactly. And this trust component of Wu Wei is very important. You know, so you have to learn that life is showing you the way, but that you just have to be present more so in your life to experience that, you know, and you have to get out of that sense that I'm going to control my path and this is going to be the way it is. I'm going to do this. And if something gets in my way, I'm just going to blast through the obstacles. And in most cases, you know, we suffer as a result. In some cases we might get through all these obstacles, you know, but then we come out a bit more jaded and bitter a lot on the other side. So, the focus would be more on, so if we can, in a sense, get out of this striving, get out of this sense of striving for desires and striving to make something of ourselves, instead we can just be okay with the life that we have as it is. It doesn't mean that we don't have to, in a sense, you know, all right, I'm just going to sit here like a Buddha and never.
Right, that's too yin.
Yeah, that's too yin. Yeah.
So the idea is to use some yang of force that we have to assert ourselves, but we have to do it authentically. We have to do it with our most natural instincts, what's true for us, without.
Exactly.
Right. And when we get out of that is when we cause trouble for ourselves.
Yes. Well, in Taoist philosophy, even one of the core components of martial arts is always remaining mainly in the yin. So mainly in the receptive and the openness of life, because right. that's how nature is. Well, and that's how our mind is. But for example, you know, if there's something that's really compelling you to act, it shouldn't be, what would I say? Like an overexertion of action. It should just be, you know, something that comes to you spontaneously that you need to do, and, or you're just compelled to do it. I'm compelled to write a book on effortless living. So I get to work, you know, but it's a different process as opposed to someone who's, you know, beating the pavement every day, you know, trying to make a dollar. And not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but it can cause, you know, a lot of psychological problems down the track.
Well, one of the problems with that is that we live in a world that's artificial. And creates artificial conditions to live in that we're fighting against. So we're really fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And ideally, we'd like to not have the structure that we have to fight against, but humanity is still coming to that. So what I want to come back to now is that in Taoism, the pure Taoism was kind of mistreated by Confucius.
Yes, definitely was. He, you know, there's a famous imaginary passage, you probably read it in the book, that Zhuangzi imagined between him and Confucius and Lao Tzu. And so Lao Tzu is basically saying, you know, the world is perfect as it is. You don't have to change anything. You just, you know, you let a flower grow as it is, as spontaneously of itself, and as are humans. And Confucius has a big way of sort of contorting that sort of Taoist perspective and turn it into more of a socialization. So basically implementing it into a social philosophy where we're trying to cultivate virtuous people. And the irony is, you know, as the Tao Te Ching always states, is that in trying to be virtuous, you're not virtuous, you know, so.
Right. Often, it's artificial.
It's artificial. Yeah.
Often
virtuous people don't even know they're virtuous. They just live their life that way, and people recognize them as that, you know.
Right, so. There aren't that many of them.
Not that many, exactly.
So the idea is, you know, that Lao Tzu had a wonderful understanding of ideal reality, that if we're true to ourselves, we'll be true to life.
Exactly.
And right, and then life can be true to us too. But we don't live in a world that's that conscious. And so then Confucius comes along and says, look, let's create this society where there's righteousness, where there's, you know, you rise to a level of order, So it's the order that Confucius was creating, which sounds good. It sounds like, well, that's how we get to be better, a better society. But it's an order that's artificial, really, because it's not organic.
It's not organic. Yeah, you're right, Pete. And that's the thing. It's I mentioned that in the book, actually. I mentioned that when you look at the four basic virtues of Confucianism, and you look at his philosophy, it's when you relate that to what we have now, it's kind of like, oh, it seems like a better life philosophy to live by.
But it's a good idea.
It's a good idea, yeah. But Lao Tzu's point is kind of that any system in itself is if it's contrived and built, you know, on the minds of, well, basically anyone, is that it's not organic. It's not authentic. It's artificial, and it's based on people's particular agendas and people's particular, you know, belief systems. So, and I don't want to completely throw Confucius under the bus, but that was sort of how he saw Taoism. He saw it as a way, all right, this is a great philosophy, what Lao Tzu has, but let's sort of mold it to try and be this sort of practical philosophy for people. And then, you know, since that time, you've especially in East Asia, like, for example, Japan, Korea, China, Vietnam, you have this kind of, you know, this underlying Confucianism, which is kind of, in a sense, holding the societies back, but it's kind of a subconscious thing that people have within their system.
So. And it's an order that can crack.
And it's an order that can crack, yes. Right.
And actually, I compare Lao Tzu and Confucius. Like, Confucius is more like Freud, and Lao Tzu is more like Jung.
that's a great analogy. It is. Yeah, Freud's very structured, has a very rigid opinion of how things should be.
Right.
And the Jungian ideas completely throws that all out the window.
Right. So. Yeah, I want to go from the inside out. And exactly. So that's what Wu Wei is honoring the inside out.
Yes.
And
honoring the inside out. Yes, you're right, Peter. It's kind of like I speak about Lao Tzu in a sense as a rebel in the book. You know, he's not the only rebel we've had on Earth, but that sort of way of thinking that, you know, we at our core we're fundamentally good, and everything is fundamentally perfect and natural as it is. It's kind of a really, especially if you speak to Western scholars about this, they don't want to know about it. You know, it's kind of like such a foreign idea as opposed to a common socialization of.
Well, because they're more Confucius oriented.
Yeah. Even when you look at Peter, when you look at Taoist scholars, you can tell that they, in the West, I mean, they have kind of a little bit of a Confucian lean on them. You know, they sort of do think that Confucianism is a lot more practical for the modern world than Lao Tzu's philosophy.
Very interesting, because we're in a time of evolution right now in our Western society that is imploding, because we've come to a cycle that the Mayans predicted of 360 years just ending of Western empire.
Yes.
And so Western empire has to be order, right? And it's imploding because of greed and corruption. So the order cracks. And right now we're going into what the Mayans called 360 years of night. And when you go into night, you can't have order.
No.
You know, you lose all of that. And so you have to go within. It's the return of the divine feminine, the yin principle. So you have to really rely more on yin than on yang. And we don't know how to do that enough yet. So yang is just cracking all over the place.
Exactly. Well, that's it. It's a complete reversal of psychology. Like, you know, I speak about that in the book. We live in a yin deficient world, where we have people that are going yang, 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 yang. They're just doing. And that's all they do is just doing. They're doing in their sleep, actually, because that's all they know. So it's causing a lot of problems in the world. And like you said, we're going through that period. You know, even in China, they talk about actually Lao Tzu as kind of like the master of chaos. You know, so You say,
yeah.
But that, in that sense, when you talk about the master of chaos, you're talking about that in, within chaos, there's kind of an intrinsic order, that divine order. That's
the point. That's how Wu Wei works.
That's how Wu Wei works. Yes.
Chaos.
Yes. So that's that naturalness. See, that's that naturalness that we've got to get back to. But I think we're going through a process where people are starting to understand the yin qualities of life a little bit. Like, you know, meditation is becoming a part of in business and stuff like this. But I think it has to obviously be more of a focus for people, because people are starting to, you know, suffer from stress and anxiety and all sorts of mental illnesses in the world. And that happens from just striving and doing and doing and holding an image up of yourself to the world that's continually knocked down. And that's just happening over and over and over again. So Lao Tzu's like, get rid of the image, embrace more of the yin, you know, as he says in the passage, you know, to know the male, you need to know the female, which means to know the yang, you need to know the yin within ourselves. And that's actually what will change society eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. But that's the point, is that most people are much too addicted to yang.
Yes.
And to these artificial orders that fight against each other.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. You only have to look at the use of, you know, digital technology and the way that entrepreneurship has sort of developed. I got nothing against either, you know, in some sense I would say, you know, that, you know, the digital world does cause some problems, but that's for another discussion. But, you know, when people go home, for example, they've been doing all day. They go home and they get on their digital device. They're still doing in their mind. So you've got like 24 hours of doing and you've got no yin time. You've got being with a significant other or just, you know, being in peace, being in meditation or eating your meal mindfully. You know, we don't do these things no more. And this is causing a lot of problem, not just on the individual level, but on the social level. And I mentioned the entrepreneurship. So we've got a lot of people now striving to be entrepreneurs because we're in that sort of epoch of time, you know, where people are like becoming digital entrepreneurs, and you've got all these people who are becoming, you know, successful, and, you know, good luck to them.
You're right.
But it's what people have to realize, which, you know, you and I have discussed before privately, Peter, is that, you know, not everyone is out of that mold. You know, not everyone is built in that sort of psychological framework or tendency to be super yang as opposed to yin. I still believe that most people are predominantly yin because that's how we are in nature. But we have people who, you know, for example, like successful entrepreneurs who can be yang and manage their stress and their anxiety to a certain degree and be successful, where other people, they just can't. You know, they try it. They suffer and they wonder why, you know, why I can't do it. It's like, you're perfect the way you are. You don't need to be like, I don't know, somebody else like Tony Robbins or someone like this or Bill Gates or someone like this.
Right, but to, I'm looking for my notes to see where you say it in the book, but to work on our spiritual development, or let's just say our wholeness in life, we have to work on mind, body, and spirit, all. And so the problem for most people is that they're only working on one or two of them.
And definitely not the third one.
Right, well, or they might work on the third one, but not the first two.
No,
and,
exactly.
And you can't, you know, be just in spirit if you're also not in mind and body in
exactly.
a holistic way. And
well, in all, sorry, Peter, in all of the esoteric traditions, like consciousness is built in those kind of those three planes, you know, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And it's about that sort of integral process of not that they're actually separate, but you've got to kind of bring back sort of bring them back into harmony a little bit. So
right, you have to know how to use them all.
Yeah, you have to be able to use them all. Like you have to, obviously your psychological center has to be very clean and a bit and able to deal with social problems and stuff like that. Physically, you know, I don't recommend anyone to be obese, you know. So but then again, with the physical aspect, you can go off into the other extreme and just focus on the body and become, you know, kind of like a bodybuilder or something like this, and it's just focused on the body. And then
there's too much ego in that.
there's too much ego in that. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think if you have, especially if you bring the physical and mental aspects into more of alignment, then you start to get that more of a sense of the, or more of a, an awareness of this, the spirit within yourself, you know, so.
Right, right. And, you know, I unfortunately have been a long distance runner almost all my life until just months ago. Yeah. My knee got bad. But that created a lot of peace for me. Just to be out, loneliness of a long distance runner, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Long distance running is great. I love running too, Peter. And and as you know, with running, what the good thing about running is that once you do run for a certain, especially long distance, you do start to bring back that integral, the embodied cognition that we actually have, which between the body and the mind. And so that. Right. I guess if you have more of that, then you get that sense of, you know, they've done scientific studies on this. You know, when you run for over 20 minutes, you get a cognitive state of effortlessness. So that effortless state that you feel in that, that's kind of the spiritual aspect. That's the way that we actually can feel just in our ordinary life.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that I want to emphasize, is that this Wu Wei principle is finding that natural rhythm in yourself that's kind of like athletes find the zone. And you can also equate it to typing or driving a car. It's that, you know, there's no effort. You're not sitting there going, am I moving the wheel right? Or, you know, second.
Yeah, yeah.
You're naturally, you know, there are so many times when I'm driving and I forget that I've been driving for the last 10 minutes and I hope I kept to the road properly, but of course I did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's, you know, in the, one of the great Tao sages, Zhuangzi, who I mentioned in the book, he has the story of Cook Ding. And Cook Ding, you know, he Lord Wen Wei goes to this, it's a story, but Lord Wen Wei, who's the ruler at the time, goes to I think it's a religious sacrifice ceremony, and Butcher Ding or Cook Ding, whatever you want to call him, is there and he's cutting the ox up so effortlessly. Like, he doesn't seem like he's not even touching a bone or anything. It's just,
he's in the zone.
He's in the zone. And the Lord Wen Wei goes up to him and's like, you know, how do you do this? You know, and it's like, and for him, it's kind of like, he said after 3 years, he doesn't see the animal anymore, you know, with his mind, but he sees it with his spirit. And so this is kind of again, getting back to that zone thinking, it's back to that effortless state where and that's kind of like a metaphor for the obstacles in life.
But I want to do a show with you, subsequent show with you, following this one, about how to live Wu Wei better.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And the experiences that you and I have had, and the experience you've found in your research and literature about Wu Wei stories.
Yes.
So that people can really embrace it in their own lives, in, you know, how to find less effort in being true to themselves.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I think that's probably more than one show, isn't it? Could be.
Well, yeah, it's great talking with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because I want to also, in that, you know, I want to talk about Li and, you know, what, how to live, embrace the Li in yourself, L-I. When you embrace the Li in yourself, you're able to work in virtue, and virtue is T-E, how do you pronounce that?
You pronounce it duh.
Duh, okay, yeah, yeah. So, so you wanna live in duh, but it's the virtue of living in inner truth.
Yes.
But the idea is, how do you find your inner truth? How do you know without efforting?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe it takes some intellectual curiosity to examine ourselves. And we also want to talk about the fact that that we do all need to constantly work on ourselves and purify ourselves from all of our shadows. Not that we can get rid of our shadows so much as we can learn to honor them.
Yeah, to deal with them and to honor them, and yeah, not let it to be something that's going to cause you suffering in your life. You know? So yeah, definitely we can talk about that too.
Yeah, there's but this book, Effortless Living, is so rich in, you know, you've really, I mean, your previous book, which we did a show about, was Fasting the Mind, Spiritual Exercises for Psychic Detox. And that is part of the journey here of knowing your mind and knowing what it wants to tell us.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, naturally, rather than, you know, living, you know, in the constructs, the artificial ego constructs that we're conditioned to.
Exactly. Well, the irony is the fasting the mind actually came from Taoist philosophy too. So it came from Zhuang Zi's, it didn't just come from that, but the term fasting the mind came from Taoist philosophy, the benefits of having a mind that's empty. Like it's not ready to act and do this and scheme. It's just, it's happy being ready
to experience Wu Wei.
Experience Wu Wei, that's it. Exactly.
So there's so much more to, you know, and in the meantime, people can pick up Effortless Living, and you're Jason Gregory. And is there a website?
Yeah, you can go to jasongregory.org, and I'm on Facebook. I think, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube.
That's great.
Yeah.
And, we have lots more to talk about, because this is, for me, this is what I need to hold in my own purpose, let's say, because it's my life. This is my life, is understanding how important Wu Wei is, how important it is to slip slide through life correctly as much as we can, authentically for ourselves.
Yes, I think that's the
next show what we're going to talk is how important it is to be useless.
Yeah, exactly. that's one of the main points. So I can't wait to get into that one.
Yeah,
and yeah, just to expand on your last point there, Peter. I think that's the work for all of us. A lot of us actually is to how can we just maintain that Wu Wei attitude through our life without letting the pressures of the social world push us in different directions.
Exactly. So that's what we have to look at in the next show, is how to live Wu Wei.
Exactly.
Great.
I can't
wait. Thank you so much, Jason Gregory.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.